上海紧缺人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语中级口译资格证书实考试卷汇编，上海市外语口译资格证书考试委员会编。试卷六，上海市英语中级口译资格证书第一阶段考试。
Section 1, Listening Test, Part A, Spot Dictation.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear a passage and read the same passage with blanks in it. Fill in each of the blanks with the word or words you have heard on the tape. Write your answer in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Remember, you will hear the passage only once. Now let's begin Part A with spot dictation.
As a linguist, my interests lie in the study of sign languages. A typical example of gesticulation is the movement of the head, namely the head nod and the head shake. Many people believe that the head nod is the only way to signal yes, and that the head shake is always used to signal no. They further believe that these gestures mean the same all over the world. This is close to the truth, but not the whole truth. In certain parts of the world, there are other, less well-known head movements that are used to signal yes and no. In the head nod gesture, the head moves vertically up and down one or more times. This gesture is used by people almost everywhere in the world. Whenever it occurs, it is usually a yes sign, rarely a no. This action may well be something we are born with, since even blind people use it. In the head shake gesture, for meaning no, the head moves horizontally from side to side. This is the most common form of negative reply, and it covers a wide range of no's, from I cannot and I will not to I disagree and I do not know. Like the head nod, the head shake is used in the same way by people throughout the world. The origin of the gesture is believed to come from the action a baby uses to refuse food or drink. When the parent tries to persuade the baby to feed, the baby says no by twisting the head first to one side and then to the other. In some parts of Europe, however, moving the head from side to side means yes. As you can imagine, this often leads to great misunderstanding and embarrassment between foreigners. Part B, Listening Comprehension. 1. Statements.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short statements. These statements will be spoken only once, and you will not find them written on the paper, so you must listen carefully. When you hear a statement, read the answer choices and decide which one is closest in meaning to the statement you have heard. Then write the letter of the answer you have chosen in the corresponding space in your answer booklet.
Question number one. Anytime you get into town, give me a call and we'll get together.
Question number two. From the rooftop restaurant, you can see the metropolis many miles away.
Question number three. We haven't heard from our sales representative for quite a while, so he must be having a busy trip.
Question number four. Who told you that the appointments were all canceled for tomorrow?
Question number five. The spokesperson didn't go into details about the government's new industry policies.
Question number six. Motivation rather than intelligence often determines success in the study of a foreign language.
Question number 7. Linda thought we ought to go ahead with the project, but Peter thought the contrary.
Question number 8. I think my assistant will fill you in on what happened at yesterday's committee meeting.
Question number 9. If you can't finish this assignment according to the schedule, please let me know no later than next Wednesday.
Question number 10. Most clothing today is made of synthetic material. However, some people prefer cotton and other natural materials.
2. Talks and conversations.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks and conversations. After each of these, you will hear a few questions. Listen carefully because you will hear the talk or conversation and questions only once. When you hear a question, read the 4 answer choices and choose the best answer to that question. Then write the letter of the answer you have chosen in the corresponding space in your answer booklet.
Questions 11 to 14 are based on the following conversation.
Betty, is family life in Britain very different from family life in your own country?
No, I don't think so, but I've noticed a few differences.
Oh? Such as what?
Well, the family unit seems to be smaller here than in my country. For you, the family is simply mom, dad, and the children.
You have a more extended family circle, do you?
Yes, it's quite common in my country to have a grandmother and an unmarried aunt or uncle living in as part of the family. And we wouldn't dream of sending an elderly relative to an old person's home, for instance.
You take care of elderly relatives yourselves, I gather.
Oh, yes. We haven't got all your welfare services, and it's the family's duty to look after an elderly parent, for example.
What about hospitality? Do you think English families do a lot of entertaining?
Yes, but in a rather formal way. You don't like people to drop in without a previous invitation, do you? In my country, it's quite usual to drop in on friends and relatives.
Have you ever lived in with an English family?
Yes, I have. I was an au pair girl for a year, helping with the housework. I learned a lot about English family life then. I'd never realized how fond the Englishman is of his home and family, his garden, and his pets.
Pets? What sort of pets did they have?
Oh, all sorts. Dogs, cats, and goldfish.
Did you enjoy living in with a family?
Oh, yes. They were very kind. Everybody helped with the washing up, including the children, and we always found time to sip tea and watch television in the evenings.
Question number 11. According to the conversation, what is an extended family?
Question number 12. Which of the following is true about the British people?
Question number 13. What did the woman do when she was living with a British family?
Question number 14. What, according to the woman, are the British people especially fond of?
Questions 15 to 18 are based on the following talk.
Glasgow is certainly a good place to study architecture. The Glasgow School of Art is famous, and everywhere there are magnificent buildings, like the School of Art itself, which was designed by Charles Rainey McIntosh. I expect you are familiar with his work. Apart from that, there are a lot of museums and art galleries. A whole wing in the Hunterian Art Gallery is devoted to McIntosh. The city is becoming more cosmopolitan, at least as far as the food is concerned. There are plenty of good Italian, Chinese, and Indian restaurants, as well as very reasonably priced lunches with traditional Scottish food. It is not difficult to travel in the city. The underground is very cheap, and even the taxis are not expensive. The center of the city is well planned, with a good shopping mall. There is plenty to do in the evenings. Glasgow has 8 theaters, as well as concert halls and cinemas. And if you are fond of live music, you can hear it in pubs and clubs. At the weekends, of course, there is beautiful countryside not far away, and you can play golf if you are interested. There are not many bad points. It's probably not the best place to improve your English, because it takes time to get used to the local accent. And it's a good idea to keep out of the way when there are matches between Rangers and Celtic, because people take football very seriously. Finally, you need to bring an umbrella. It rains rather a lot, almost twice as much as in London.
Question number 15. According to the talk, for what is the Glasgow School of Art famous?
Question number 16. Why does the speaker mention the variety of foods in the city?
Question number 17. What is one advantage of the city's transportation system?
Question number 18. The city of Glasgow is not recommended for which of the following groups of people?
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the following conversation. Marcia, I wish you had told somebody where you were going to be. I've been looking all over for you. You've got to drop what you're doing right now. We don't have much time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, we've got to go. There's a big fire in King's Football Stadium. Second Avenue. We've got to get over there right away to cover it.
David, you can't do that. The news team is probably already there. It's their story, not yours.
No, it's our story, yours and mine. The news team is doing a story up in Danbury today. They couldn't possibly make it back in time. Come on.
Have you talked to Bob?
Of course. He called me about it. He said to get over there right away.
He wants you to cover it. You don't need me, David. Haven't you heard? At the end of the month, I'm...
Marcia! What I told Bob was that we'd do it together. You've got to go. Bob's counting on you.
You know very well you can handle it yourself, David. This is...
Look! I wish we had time to argue about this, but we don't. We're wasting valuable time. Come on. I'll get the camera equipment and meet you at the van in 5 minutes. You'd better start trying to come up with some possible story angles. Let's go.
But, David...
Later, okay? Right now, let's do our job.
Well, okay. I need to stop by my office to get some things. Then I'll meet you in the parking lot.
Question number 19. What are the man and the woman?
Question number 20. What happened in King's Football Stadium, 2nd Avenue?
Question number 21. How did the man learn about the incident in the football stadium?
Question number 22. Where would the man and the woman meet?
Questions 23 to 26 are based on the following talk. Women's fashions tend to change more rapidly and radically than men's. In the early 1900s, all women wore their skirts down to the ankle. Today, skirt length varies from floor length to 10 inches above the knee. Women's shoes have also gone through all sorts of changes in the last 90 years. For example, boots for women were very common around the turn of the 20th century. Then, for years, they were not considered fashionable. Today, they are back in style again in all colors, lengths, and materials. In fact, today's women can wear all sorts of clothes, even slacks and shorts, on almost any occasion. While all of these changes were taking place in women's fashions, men's clothing remained pretty much the same until a couple of years ago. In fact, most men still wear the traditional suit, though bright colors and varieties in cut are now more common.
Question number 23. How did women in the early 1900s wear their skirts?
Question number 24. What kind of shoes was considered fashionable for women at the turn of the 20th century?
Question number 25. According to the passage, when did men's clothing start to change?
Question number 26. Which of the following best expresses the main idea of the talk?
Questions 27 to 30 are based on the following interview. Now let's go back to your first novel, Stand Up Kids. When did you write that?
Stand Up Kids? Yes, I wrote that in 1970, a year after I left college.
How old were you then?
23? Yes, 23, because a year later I went to Indonesia.
And of course it was your experience in Indonesia that inspired your film, The Eastern Island.
Yes, that's right. Although I didn't actually make The Eastern Island until 1988.
And you worked in television for a time, too.
Yes. I started making documentaries for television in 1983, when I was 36. That was after I gave up farming.
Farming?
Yes, that's right. You see, I stayed in Indonesia for 8 years. I met my wife there in 1975, and after we came back, we bought a farm in the west of England in 1980. A kind of experiment, really.
But you gave it up 3 years later.
Well, yes. You see, it was very hard work, and I was also very busy working on my second novel, The Gold Touch, which came out in 1985.
Yes, that was a bestseller, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And that's why only 2 years after that, I was able to give up television work and concentrate on films.
Question number 27. When did the man write his first novel, Stand Up, Kids?
Question number 28. How old was the man when he started making documentaries for television?
Question number 29. What did the man and his wife do when they came back from Indonesia?
Question number 30. Which of the following has the man not taken up in his life career?
Part C, Listening and Translation. 1. Sentence Translation.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear 5 English sentences. You will hear the sentences only once. After you have heard each sentence, translate it into Chinese and write your version in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Now, let's begin with sentence translation with sentence number 1.
Sentence number 1. This might cost a lot, but in the long run, you will see the benefits of doing it now.
Sentence number 2. We ask the secretary to take charge of the arrangements for the board meeting.
Sentence number 3. The manager said, in his opinion, the project had little chance of success.
Sentence number 4. Police are to interview residents of the village where the missing businessman, Tom Green, lived. This will mean interviewing up to 7,000 people.
Sentence number 5. Let me introduce Mr. Peter Collins. He is doing some management consultancy work for our company.